So I want to greet you in Jesus' name this morning. It is good to be here, and it's a privilege, and I know we often say that, but I hope we really mean it this morning, that it's a privilege to be here, to come together, not just because it's Sunday morning, not because it's the right thing to do, but because we truly want to be here and to worship our Lord and to fellowship with believers and be strengthened in our walk. It was a blessing to hear the testimonies from you young people who have committed your lives to Christ. That's encouraging to us older ones who have maybe committed years ago to renew our commitment to following Christ. As I thought about our revivals last week, and I knew that this morning we're going to be hearing some testimonies, my mind was on the subject of commitment. And last week, as Brother Virgil brought us those messages, I was blessed by the simplicity of the gospel and the challenge to grow and to be more like Christ. And I take that as a challenge to my own life. So the youth made commitments here this morning, but I hope that we all made commitments last week, this week, as we thought about our relationship with Christ. And it brought my mind to some verses in Luke. So you can turn to Luke chapter 9 for a text this morning. And we'll start by reading the last few verses in the chapter, and then we'll come back and maybe read more of the chapter and pull some thoughts on commitment out of the chapter. So turn to Luke chapter 9, and I want to start reading in verse 57 and lift out maybe verse 62 as a text verse. Luke chapter 9, verse 57 says, "And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." My mind went to these verses as I thought about commitment. What does commitment mean? We're going to look at that a little bit here this morning. But yesterday was Veterans Day. I don't know if you thought about that or not, but on Friday I tried to call a government office and they weren't closed. Tomorrow is the 11th. Veterans Day. It's a day when the United States recognizes those who have made a commitment, who have committed to serve the military. And there's honor given to those who are willing to give their lives to a greater cause than themselves. And as I thought about that commitment that a soldier makes, the men and women who serve the military, they're willing to lay down their lives for a cause. They step forward and say, yes, I'm willing. And sometimes we see that little phrase, all gave some and some gave all. We see that as a memorial to those who have served this country. If you think about the commitment one must have to a cause that they're willing to defend it at the cost of their life. It's an incredible commitment. And there's thousands and thousands and millions of people who have given themselves for an earthly kingdom. And this morning, we are called to an even greater cause this morning. These young people made a commitment to a cause greater than any earthly country that we could even think of. It's a kingdom that encompasses the entire globe and reaches all people groups. And the question I have for us this morning, are we committed to that cause or are we a sideline observer? Maybe off to the side and looking on. So for a title this morning, the title for the message this morning is A Contribution or a Commitment. Because there's a lot of people that think that being a Christian is a good idea. They like to come to church and to sit on the benches and to enjoy the singing, enjoy the worship. And they contribute in that way. But to make a commitment to the kingdom of God, that's just going a little too far. I'd like to challenge us in that this morning. The dictionary defines commitment as the state or quality of being dedicated to a cause or an activity. So commitment is going the whole way. It's not holding back. It's placing our trust and our confidence in what we believe in, and we're stepping out. And I just ask us again this morning, are we committed to the cause of Christ's kingdom? Are we committed to that? My mind went back to the phrase that Brother Virgil gave us last week. And it was this. It says, I think I have it right here. Jesus is either Lord of all, or he is not Lord at all. If you remember him saying that. And that call to a commitment. Our tendency is want to hold back. Yes, I'm committed, but we put a lot of little clauses in there on what we want to hold back. And that's not what commitment is. Commitment is complete. When we commit to something, we give ourselves to it. There's a little story that maybe illustrates this point. It's obviously not a true story. It's animals talking. But it makes the point that I want to bring here this morning. It says, one day a chicken and a pig were discussing what they could do for the farmer. And they knew the farmer liked a good breakfast to get his day started. So they decided that they would make breakfast for the farmer. And the chicken has a suggestion, well, let's make bacon and eggs for the farmer. We know he likes that. And that was the chicken's suggestion. But the pig said, that's fine for you because you're making a contribution. Chicken just gives some eggs. Doesn't really cost him that much. But for the pig to make that bacon, obviously he's giving up everything. He said, for you, it's a contribution. For me, it's a total commitment. So obviously a little story there to illustrate the point. But which are we this morning? Are we making a contribution, or are we committed to the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of righteousness? As I thought about commitment, our culture is very slow to commit to almost anything. If you think about relationships, they take commitment. You think about the relationships around us, the basic commitment of marriage. There's many people who, in our culture, who just live together, and they're not committed in marriage. It's easy for them to pull that apart and to move on. Many churches, there's no commitment to God. It's just, we'll come here, we have our social needs met, we feel good because we came here and worshiped, but then the rest of the week we can live the way, whatever we want. There's no commitment to following Christ. There's very little commitment to family. Think about the different family relationships that I've interacted with recently. It's so broken. They don't want to commit to each other. There's the idea that it's, well, what's in it for me? And if there's nothing in it for me, then I'm not interested. And you see people in broken relationships everywhere because there's not that willingness to commit to each other. Think about commitments that we make to people and to different responsibilities that we have. I think about our school teachers, the commitment of teaching school. You know, as it comes to Christmas time, we start thinking about next year, and that commitment of a year and a half of my life. You know, I'm going to put my name forward that yes, I'm willing to do this. And it's maybe hard for us to commit to that. And there's other commitments that we have. Maybe some are shorter term, some are longer term. Will I go serve in Ukraine, or will I go serve in Honduras? And those are different commitments that we make. Sometimes we make commitments on things that we'll do for someone. Someone needs a hand, someone needs help, and we make a commitment to do that. We do our best to fulfill that. And maybe if you're like me, it's easy to overcommit, and we have limitations. It's easy to start a project, but then as we venture into it, we realize how much this is costing, how much this is taxing, how much this is taking, and we want to pull back from that. And that's what Jesus was talking about here in verse 62. He says, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. So this morning we're thinking about commitments, and our level of commitment is what sees us through those difficult experiences, those difficult times. I have a friend who's an athlete, and he is committed to winning championships. And that commitment takes him every morning. He runs to the top of Wapsie up here, and it doesn't matter if it's 10 degrees or 90 degrees. Every morning he runs up that mountain because he is committed to being in shape for those few races out of the year. And there's a lot of reasons that we struggle with commitment. You know, I don't struggle with the commitment to run every day because I haven't made that commitment. But we do make commitments that we struggle with. And some of those reasons are we feel we can fear failure. We don't want to commit to something and then fail. So that's a reason that we don't. Other reasons, maybe we just don't exercise a discipline that we know it will take to see something through to the end. So we just don't commit to it because we know what it will cost. But commitment is looking past today for a future benefit. And that's what gets my friend out of bed every morning to run to the top of Wapsie. He knows that if he trains and he is disciplined, that it will benefit him later. And that's what carries him through. But what does committing ourselves to Christ's kingdom look like? And I want to read here in Luke chapter 9. We're going to spend most of our time here this morning in Luke chapter 9. It's quite a lengthy chapter, but I think there's a number of points here that we can... I pulled out 5 points that challenged me here in Luke chapter 9. And I think we'll do something a little bit different this morning, so I'm not reading the entire chapter. I'll take some volunteers to read some portions to kind of break it up a little bit. Could I have a volunteer to read Luke chapter 9, 10 through 17? Steve, and if I could have a volunteer to read 18 through 27. Tony, and 28 through 36. David, okay, thank you. All right, go ahead, Steve, if you want to start reading in Luke chapter 9, verse 10. And it came to pass that on the next day, when they were come down from the hill, much people met him. And behold, a man of the company cried out, saying, Master, I beseech thee, look upon my son, for he is mine only child. And lo, a spirit taketh him, and suddenly crieth out, and it teareth him, that he foameth again, and bruising him heartily departeth from him. And I besought the disciples to cast him out, and they could not. And Jesus answering said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and suffer you? Bring thy son hither. And as he was yet coming, the devil threw him down and tear him. And Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child and delivered him again to his father. And they were all amazed at the mighty power of God. But while they wondered, everyone at all these things which Jesus did, he said unto his disciples, let these sayings sink down into your ears, for the Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men. But they understood not this saying, and it hid from them, and they perceived it not, and they feared to ask him for that saying. Then there arose a reasoning among them, which of them should be greatest. And Jesus, perceiving the thought of their heart, took a child and set him by him, and said unto them, whosoever shall receive this child in my name receiveth me, and whosoever shall receive me receiveth him that sent me. For he that is least among you all, the same shall be great. And John answered and said, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and we forbade him, because he followeth not with us. And Jesus said unto him, forbid him not, for he that is not against us is for us. And it came to pass, when the time was come, that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into the village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him, because his face was though he would go to Jerusalem. When his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? But he turned and rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went into another village. And we read verse 57 through 62 already. I know this is a lot of scripture to read here this morning, but I think this illustrates commitment. There's a couple of points here I wanted to pull out. And number one, and they're not in order, but number one is commitment is voluntary. So the United States has what is called an all-voluntary military system, which means the service members are all volunteer. No one is forced into serving. Now, there are exceptions in time of war that there will be a draft or something like that. But I suppose you can force someone into committing to something, but I doubt if it's going to give you the results that you're looking for. And Jesus simply asks a question here of his disciples. In verse 20, he says, "But who do you say that I am?" So there, Jesus was in his ministry here. He was doing miracles, and he was speaking to the people. But Jesus was looking for a commitment from his disciples. And he asked them a point-blank question. "But who do you say that I am?" And we see it again in verse 23. Jesus said, "If any man will come after me." When Jesus called his disciples, he called them by inviting them to follow him. He says, "Come, follow me. I will make you fishers of men." And we could look at many scriptures where Jesus invites. And Jesus extends that invitation to us today. "If any man will deny himself, take up his cross daily, follow me." That comes to us here in Altoona today. And he invites us to commit to his kingdom, to forsake the world and follow him. And that's what we see happening here in Luke chapter 9. These people were following Jesus. They were listening to his teachings. And they had enjoyed a meal here. Jesus had fed them. They had seen the miracle. And they had stepped forward. And then we see in the end of the chapter where they said, "I will follow you." The one man said, "I'll follow you wherever you go." And sometimes in this idea of commitment being voluntary, we commit because there's something in it for us. There's some food there. There's some loaves there. There's some fishes there. And it calls us to step forward. Jesus even called this out in another gospel, John 6. He says, you didn't follow me because you wanted to be with me. You followed me because you saw the miracles and you ate the bread. And that's why you're following me. Jesus said, that's wonderful. But there's something that I need to teach you about commitment and committing to me. And that's our second point this morning, is commitment comes at a cost. It's not free. It's going to cost us something to commit our lives to Christ. And Jesus is right up front about that. He says, if you commit to me, it's going to cost you. And that's what the gospel message is about, is the cost of following him. I wonder how many people would have joined an earthly army if the recruitment slogan was step right up, sign your name. There's 100% chance of you losing your life, but step right up. I wonder how well that would work out. That's not how they do it. They present the cause. They dress the soldier in tactical warfare. He looks invincible, and they get people to sign up for the military in that way. And that's not how Jesus does it. He says, you're going to lose your life. The military recruiter doesn't show you a picture of a folded flag being given to a family member. No, not at all. It's join a cause. You're invincible. And they make it look glamorous. That's how they recruit. But that's not how Jesus does it. In his recruitment, he's honest. He says here that in verse 24, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it." That's his recruitment slogan, to join his kingdom, to commit, to save our lives. I don't know why it's so hard for us. We hang on to these dreams that we have, or that what we had planned for our life. And it's hard for us to let go of those things sometimes. But Jesus is calling us to do that and commit to him and to follow him and to whatever the cost is, to give him that blank check If you think about the analogy of a check, just signing our name at the bottom, letting him write the pay to and the amount. That's the only way there is to live. Jesus teaches us here. He says, there's going to be cost in committing to me and to following me. If you're there in Luke, just turn over a couple of pages to Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14, verse 25. It tells us to count the cost before committing. Luke chapter 14, verse 25. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he hath sufficient to finish it, lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation, is not able to finish it? And all that behold it began to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first, and considereth whether he be able to, with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is a great way off, he sendeth an embassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath cannot be my disciple. Commitment cost something in the kingdom of Christ. And he tells us to sit down and to count those costs before we make that commitment. So we're not like the person who starts plowing and then turns back. There's another story. We're not going to take the time to turn there. But in Luke chapter 18, where the young man comes to Jesus and he knows that something, he's lacking something yet. And Jesus said, well, have you kept the commandments? Yeah, he's done that. And then Jesus said, Jesus lays his finger on something that was really important to that young man. He said, well, go sell what you have and give to the poor. And it says that man turned around and he walked away very sorrowful because he just couldn't commit that. He couldn't commit his riches. He had too much. He wasn't willing to give that up for the kingdom. How is it with us this morning? Is there something that we're holding back? Something that we're not willing to let go to fully commit our lives to Christ? The third point I'd like to think about here this morning is our commitment will get tested. We talked about this morning in we had a little meeting with those who were going to share their testimonies this morning, and it was brought up several times that this morning is the start of a journey, and I think it maybe even came through in some of the testimonies this morning. It's a journey that we're on, and we know that we're going to get tested in that. It's not just a commitment, is not just a box that we check and then we can move on. But there's things that come to us that test our commitment. And I think the disciples got one of these tests here in Luke chapter 9. When they're out here in the desert, and Jesus looks at his disciples and he says, how does he say here? Give ye them to eat. The disciples are there with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And Jesus looks at them and says, feed the multitude. And I think this was a test for the disciples. They had this little boy's lunch. And Andrew said, what are these among so many? In a different gospel, it records that Andrew said that. What are these few fish and these little pieces of bread? What are they among this multitude? But Jesus said, make the men sit down. And then disciples needed to step forward and start giving a little. Well, we know the story. He prayed. We read it here. He prayed, blessed it, and the disciples were to distribute it to the people. And as they stepped forward and did that, this person had enough, the next person had enough, and all the way to the end, it says they picked up 12 baskets, it says in verse 17. But this was a test for the disciples' commitment. What were they willing to do? There was another test here in verse 37 through 42. There was this man who brought his son to the disciples because he had a demon. And Jesus was up on the mountain with Peter, James, and John. And they weren't able to cast this devil out. And there was a test here on the commitment of the disciples. And Matthew records the disciples came to Jesus and asked, why couldn't we cast him out? After Jesus had cast the demon out, the disciples will know, why couldn't we do that? And Matthew 17, verse 20 says, and Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall be moved, and nothing shall be impossible to you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out by prayer, but by prayer and fasting. Their commitment level was tested here on what they were willing to do to connect with the power of God. Jesus called them to prayer and fasting in this situation. When the tests come to our commitment, and they will come, how deep is our commitment? We should expect those tests to come. 1 Peter 4, 12 or 13 says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. So we should expect our commitment to be tested. Paul tells young Timothy, he said, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. That hardness is going to come. It's the deepness of our commitment that takes us through. Commitment that is worth anything will take some perseverance. It's not much of a commitment if it doesn't cost us very much, or if it's not tested very much, it's not much of a commitment. You can also see the commitment that Jesus had here in verse 51. I don't know if you noticed this or not, but it says, it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. So Jesus had a commitment to go to Jerusalem. Even though he knew what awaited him there, he was willing to take those steps and to go and commit do what he had committed to do. Fourth thing I'd like to notice here from Luke 9 is that commitment is not a competition. One of the slogans for the army is an army of one. It's a unity. So when a person commits to service, he knows that he's joining a greater cause. That I must go and we takes its place. The commitment takes commitment to be part of a group. And sometimes I think the disciples had forgotten that here. And sometimes we forget that. We get focused on our pet project or what we're committed to do, and we forget to blend with the group. The disciples had forgotten that here. You can see that in verse 46. It says, and there arose a reasoning among them, which should be the greatest? Who's the most committed around here anyway? And they began to argue about this. After all, I've given up everything to follow Christ. I should be entitled to at least a little bit more, a little something extra. And this was happening right in their own tight little circle of who's going to be the greatest. And it's easy for us to do that in our commitment as well. Well, we look at somebody else and we say, well, they're not as committed as I am, or they haven't given up as much as I have. And we begin to lift ourselves up and put others down. And that's not what commitment is. Commitment to Christ is, I'm here to serve. And I'll leave the rest up to the master on who's the greatest. This also came up when there was someone casting out a devil. The disciples forbid that person from casting out a devil in the name of Christ. And Jesus said, don't get caught up in who's doing what. Just rejoice that this is taken care of. Forbid him not, for he that is not against us is for us. Commitment. Jesus said, we're on the same team. It's not us versus them. We're in it together. Number 5, commitment has blessings. So we've talked this morning about the cost of commitments, but there's a lot of blessings in commitment as well. Let's think about a few of those. So Peter, James, and John here in verse 29, they were up on the mount, we call the Mount of Transfiguration, and they went up there to pray, but they had fallen asleep. And when they awoke, they looked on Jesus and they saw a glimpse of his glory. It says, verse 31, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter was sleeping, James and John were sleeping, and it says they saw his glory and the two men that stood with him. This commitment to follow Christ gave them a glimpse of Christ's glory. And I don't know what that all that was, but whatever it was, it motivated Peter to say, it's good for us to be here. Let's build three tabernacles, and one for Jesus, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. The blessings of commitment. They experienced, or they got to see a little bit of the glory of Christ. And as we commit our lives to Christ and we see his kingdom accomplished here on earth, we get to see a little bit of that glory as well. And we can rejoice when people commit their lives to Christ, or we can see God working in other people's lives. We get to see that. And we glimpse the glory of Christ a little bit. Luke 18, verse 28 and 29. Then Peter said, lo, we have left all and followed thee. And he said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come, life everlasting. So we're thinking about the blessings of commitment. I thought about Paul's testimony in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Let's turn there. Let's read those verses together as the blessings of a committed life. 2 Timothy chapter 4. This is, we know Paul, he gave his life in many ways to writing letters and to building the church. And this is his testimony. We know it almost by heart. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Let's read verse 7 and 8. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing, or look for his appearing. So thinking about this morning, are we contributors, or are we committed to living our lives for the Lord Jesus? The difference is going to be in our reward. Not, like Peter said, not only in this life, but also in the one to come. We have that to look forward of the crown of righteousness, the blessings of eternity with Christ. Yes, there's cost to commitment. There's things we have to give up. But in comparison with what we receive, the commitment seems pretty small. It seems pretty insignificant. And going back to Luke chapter 9 there, and we're talking about the man who puts his hand to the plow and then looks back. We're going to have some deviations in our path, in our commitment. Sometimes we have times in our lives where we just struggle a little bit. And as long as we're pressing forward, think about the man plowing the field. He may go around a rock, or he may deviate a little bit, but as long as he's plowing, he's not looking back, he's keeping his commitment. That's my challenge to us this morning is, as we commit our lives to Christ, you young people who've made a recent commitment, to just put your hand to the plow, don't look back, and rest in that commitment, and God will give you strength to in that journey. Let's pray.
Lord, we just bow before you here at the end of this service, where we thank you for the opportunity to again be here and worship together. Lord, just thank you for the privilege it is to be able to be part of your kingdom, to be able to be your sons and daughters through Jesus Christ. Lord, I just pray that you bless Nathaniel and Natasha and Deanna and Heidi in their commitment to you. And I just pray that you give them strength for the journey ahead. Lord, I pray that all of us would renew our commitment to serve you. And Lord, I just pray that if there's someone here this morning who is just standing off to the side and not yet committed their lives to you, I pray that your spirit would work in their hearts as well, and that we could, your kingdom would be